as was announced, I will be reading Matthew 7, verse 12. That's Matthew 7, verse 12. Now I'll be reading from the American Standard Version. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law of the prophets.
Good evening. It's good to see everyone out this evening. It's March, I think. Good to see everyone here, even though you may have known who was going to be preaching this evening. So glad you still came out anyway. But I do appreciate the opportunity to stand before you and bring a portion of God's word to you. If you would, please examine what I have to say. Please open Bibles and look at God's word. Make sure that what I'm saying this evening is correct according to God's word. Tonight we're going to talk about something that most of us know about. Every one of us should know about because we all need it. We all have to have it. Something that we should be familiar with. Something that we should be giving to other people, something that we should be receiving from other people. And that topic is forgiveness. How often does someone do something wrong to us and they ask for forgiveness? Do we forgive them? Do we ask for forgiveness when we do something wrong or something against someone else? How do you feel after you forgive someone? Do you still feel angry even though they did something wrong and they ask for forgiveness? Do you hold a grudge against them? Hopefully not. Hopefully we can let it go. But tonight we're going to look at a few things. We're going to look at what is forgiveness. We're going to look at why is forgiveness important. Why is forgiveness necessary? And then we're going to look at some examples of forgiveness. So first of all, what is forgiveness? It seems kind of simple, but just to define, W.E. Vine says that forgiveness is to send forth, to send away, or to remit. And what goes along with this is repentance. Repentance is a turning away. You have to first obviously turn away from any sin or wrongdoing that you've done to be able to ask for forgiveness. And when we ask for this forgiveness, it's sent away, at least by God. God sends it away. He remits that sin. He forgets about it. Is that what we do? How should we forgive others? Well, turn over to Matthew chapter 7 if you're not there already. Verse 12 says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So we should forgive other people the way we want to be forgiven. That's only fair, right? How does God forgive us? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Says, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." He's not going to remember our sins. It's hard for us to even comprehend that. Can we really understand 100% that he's going to forget those sins. Because we as humans have a memory. And it's not like a computer where you just turn it off and the memory's gone. It's always there, no matter how hard we try to get rid of it. We're still going to remember what's happened in our lives. But God's not like that. He's going to forget what we have repented of and asked for forgiveness of. Turn over to Acts. Acts chapter 3. Verse 19 says, "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." Our sins are going to be blotted out, completely erased. No more remembrance of them. So why is forgiveness important? Well, it's essential for every single Christian. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Why is it important? Because God forgave us. God has given us forgiveness. Now we have to forgive one another. Obviously, this is something that's easier said than done. Sometimes we don't want to forgive someone because of something they've done is absolutely terrible. There's a lot of things that people do that it's hard to forgive. But that's what we have to do. Do we have a forgiving heart? This relates to our attitude. What is our attitude toward other people when they ask us to forgive them? What kind of an attitude do we have when that happens? What kind of an attitude do we have toward forgiveness in the home? Here's a hypothetical situation. Your spouse obviously must forgive you if you ask for forgiveness. You know, after you've planned to throw your wife a 30th birthday party, surprise birthday party, she has to forgive you, right? Right? I mean, you know, even if she tells you 2 days beforehand she doesn't want any party, she still has to forgive you. Even if it takes 6 days for her to forgive you, she's going to forgive you. But all kidding aside, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes we can't forgive each other right away. Sometimes the wounds are too deep, and we need time to heal. What about our neighbors? Would we forgive our neighbor if they accidentally cut down the wrong tree that was on our side of the line? Or would we hold a grudge against them for all eternity? What about our nation? If we didn't forgive other people, we'd be at war all the time, right? What about the church? Do we forgive each other? If someone's done something wrong to you, do you have a forgiving heart? What's your attitude towards them? Do you not want to talk to them anymore? Are they on your blacklist or whatever? What's your attitude toward them? Why is forgiveness necessary? Look at Mark chapter 11. Forgiveness is necessary because God commands it in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. It says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. If we don't forgive other people, God is not going to forgive us. That's a scary thought. If we don't forgive someone of one little thing that they did, even if we said we forgave them, we still hold it in our hearts and we hold that and we keep a grudge, even if we don't think it is, and we don't forgive them, what's going to happen to us in the judgment day? We have to have a forgiving heart. We have to be willing to forgive. Even a child can say, I'm sorry. Now, your parents tell you at a young age to say you're sorry, whether you've hit your sibling or done something wrong, they tell you to say you're sorry. The kids do it. They say, I'm sorry. Do they really mean it? What they really mean, I'm sorry I got caught. I wish I hadn't got caught for doing that, because I wouldn't be in trouble now. Do we sometimes have the same attitude? We're sorry we got caught in something we did. Otherwise, we'd still be doing it, right? Something fun we want to do, something we enjoy, or whatever it is, we want to keep doing it. Forgiveness is necessary because if we have been forgiven, we must forgive other people. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 says in verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. This says we must forgive. We have to. It's a commandment. We have to forgive other people. It's plain and simple. What about for our future forgiveness? Do we think about that? Over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If we don't forgive other people, God is not going to forgive us. It's plain and simple. So let's look at some examples of forgiveness. There's a lot of examples in the Bible. First, there's David. Saul wanted to kill David. He was a threat to him. So he said, I'm going to go after him and I'm going to kill him. He chased him into the mountains. He chased those that were with him, and he wanted to kill him. David could have sought revenge after Saul. He could have gone after him and killed him. He had the opportunity to kill him, but he didn't take it. He forgave him. What about Joseph? Joseph is a good example of this. He was Jacob's favorite son. He had a coat that was special, but he also had dreams. He had these dreams that his family was going to bow down to him. His brothers didn't like this. In fact, they hated it, and they hated him. So they sold him into slavery. They almost killed him. But they sold him into slavery. So he gets to Egypt and is put in charge of Potiphar's house. And from that situation, he was put into prison for several years. And while he's in prison, he interprets some of the dreams of Pharaoh. And that put him into power in Egypt. And Joseph was not just, you know, in charge of a few of the guards or in charge of a few things here and there. He was in charge of everything. In fact, you could almost say that he was equal with Pharaoh, if not higher, because he did more work. Pharaoh left him in charge of everything. So Joseph's brothers come to Egypt because of the famine. There's no food. They're out of food. They come there to buy food for their family. Turn over to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, beginning in verse 1, says, "Then Joseph could not control himself, before all those who stood before him, he cried, 'Make everyone go out from me.' So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence." So Joseph finally tells his brothers, he says, "It's me, your brother, Joseph." His brothers are scared to death because they think this guy's in charge of Egypt now. He's going to have us put to death. And he well could have, but he didn't. Verse 4 says, "So Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come near to me, please.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God." So we see Joseph's attitude here. He doesn't hold a grudge against his brothers. He doesn't blame them for his situation. He looks at it as God sent him there. That was his purpose. And then in verse 14, it says, "Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." So they finally realize, he's not going to kill us. We have our brother back now. And they put everything behind them. There's no more grudges. Joseph had a forgiving heart. He had the right attitude. Do we always have that same attitude? Do we have a forgiving heart? Another example is Stephen. Stephen preached the word of God. He preached the word to the Jews. What did they do to him? They stoned him to death. They killed him. What did he do? Acts chapter 7. Turn over there, if you would. Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. As he's being stoned, he says, "And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He was killed by his own people, and yet he forgave them. He asked God to forgive them for what they were doing. Similarly, we have the example of Christ. He was the perfect example for us. He was crucified by his own people. We know all the suffering and the pain and anguish that he went through for us. He had the power to stop it. Stephen didn't have the power to stop that. Jesus did. He could have stopped it anytime he wanted to. He also had the power to seek revenge. He could have killed every one of the Jews that wanted him dead. But he forgave them. Turn over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did the same thing. He forgave them, and he asked God to forgive them too. He knew that he had to do that. He knew that he had to be crucified. He knew that he had to die for our sins. But his attitude was that of forgiveness. He had a forgiving heart. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 says, Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. We all know this verse. We all know that it's not the number. But is it the number? Are we keeping track of how many times we have to forgive someone of the same thing over and over? Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe our spouse is struggling with something. Maybe they do the same thing over and over again to us. Do we have a tally in our head? Are we keeping track of it? You know, do we chalk one up on the big board for another time that they've done that to us? Why do we do that? Hopefully we're not doing that. Is there a limit to forgiveness? Hopefully we know the answer to that. The answer is no. We should forgive someone as many times as they ask for forgiveness. One more example. We'll look at the unmerciful servant in that same chapter. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. 10,000 talents. Not sure what the conversion rate on that is, but it's probably more than the dollar right now. But I've read that it's a talent is 20 years of wages. So there's no possible way that this man could ever repay what he owed. It was impossible. But he was forgiven that debt. Verse 28, but when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. This amount of money is a fraction of what the first servant owed. Tiny fraction. And he goes and he demands that his fellow servant pay him right away. Obviously not a good example of forgiveness. Verse 31 says, when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This servant, he held a grudge about this debt. He did not have a forgiving heart. Do we hold grudges against other people? Hopefully not. If you are holding a grudge, give it up. Make it right. What's going to happen to us if we hold on to that grudge or we don't forgive people? We saw exactly what's going to happen there. Verse 35, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Not just say, that's all right, don't worry about it. We do that a lot. We say, it's not a big deal, don't worry about it. But are we really forgiving someone when we say that? Is it coming from our heart? So there's some questions we should ask ourselves. Do we expect others to apologize to us first? If we've been in an argument with someone, most of the time both parties are guilty. Both people have said things they shouldn't have said. Both people have done things they shouldn't have done. But do we expect other people to come to us and apologize, tell us they're sorry? Or do we go to them first? Do we go to them and say, I'm sorry, it got out of hand? Do we have a forgiving heart? And only you can answer for that. Do we need forgiveness? This is an obvious one. Of course we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness every day. Maybe it's from our family, or from God. God can and will forgive us. How does that happen, though? How does He forgive us? We have to ask for it, right? You have to ask for forgiveness. If you've never been baptized, you need to ask for forgiveness from God. And repent of your sins and become a child of God. If you haven't done that, why not? If you've done something against someone else, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your brother in Christ, somebody at work, you've done something that you know you shouldn't have, ask for forgiveness from them and from God. There's no reason to wait, because you never know how long you have in this life. You never know how long you're going to live. In case you haven't noticed, weather's pretty bad. Roads are pretty bad out there. Maybe you have an excellent SUV with four-wheel drive, and you're a stunt driver, and there's no way you're going to get in an accident. There's no guarantee someone else isn't going to hit you. There's no guarantees of anything. So, before it's too late, do what you need to do. Ask for forgiveness. Become a Christian. Do what you need to do as we stand and sing to encourage you.